Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
Do you think your marriage could survive an affair? My guest is Dr. Dana Fillmore. She's the co-founder and therapist for StrongMarriageNow.com. So, Dr. Dana, tell us, first, what do you think the unfaithful spouse should do to keep the marriage going after his affair or her affair has been found out?
Well, there's several different steps. First and foremost, of course, always you have to stop the infidelity, of course, to move forward, and any contact must stop, including face-to-face meetings, emails, phone calls, that sort of thing, because you really want to begin that trust process right from the beginning, you know, trying to get your partner to trust you in. And if it's in a work situation where you can't end contact, then you and your spouse need to come up with some rules, some ways that that's going to be able to work out where they're going to be able to feel safe. So that's nothing can happen until the contact is ended from the beginning. So that's the first step, definitely.
Okay. And do you think that the spouse should, that the unfaithful spouse should sort of tell all? I mean, do you think that the other spouse needs to know gory details?
No. The other spouse does not need to know gory details. The things that, and I'll tell you why. When we have details, we create images in our head, and those are images we can never get rid of. They become sort of permanent, almost memories, even though we weren't there and we didn't necessarily see that happening. But we create a vision of that, and that can really interfere with healing in the future and you know, regaining intimacy in the future, those sorts of things. So no, you don't really want to have all the details. What you do want to know is you really want to figure out what happened in the marriage, what was going on in our marriage that you know, what was the state of our marriage that led to our marriage being vulnerable at the time. One of the hardest things for people to accept is that in most cases in the affair, the marriage got itself to a really shaky point before somebody else crossed the line. So you have to kind of figure out what exactly happened in the relationship between the two of you. And those kind of details are very important. And then the other details you want to know about the affair stuff is things like when they met and what led to them meeting. Those kind of details you can reveal because you need them to create a safety plan. But the actual intimate details about what happened and who said what and who did what, it's usually a bad idea to cover all that.
And I would wonder, I don't think that it would be very good if the unfaithful spouse were to, in the process of talking about everything, blame the faithful spouse, well, you weren't giving me what I needed, or you weren't...
Well, there's a difference between an explanation and an excuse. I agree that you don't want to shift the blame. You certainly want to take responsibility for the choices that you made, that one made, and really, really, you know, own that and apologize for that. However, there are conversations, and several conversations need to happen about what needs were not getting met. And why did that person leave the marriage? And that's a really hard conversation to have because the betrayed partner is usually quite angry, of course, at this point, and hurt. And oftentimes the betrayer doesn't want to finger point. But you still need to be real honest about why was your marriage in a state where that was able to happen in the first place. That can feel like blame, but it really is just an explanation.
Go ahead. Well, why? So then give us some things or steps that the betrayed spouse can do kind of right from the beginning. I imagine they want to scream and rail and, you know, they'll want the details, but are they supposed to ask a lot of questions? Are they supposed to, how do they deal with that rage?
Again, they, you know, one of the things they need to talk about really is and what the betrayer needs to hear is what that person feels like, what, just listen what it feels like for the betrayer spouse to, you know, to betrayed spouse, excuse me, how hurt they are, how scared they are, how frustrated they are. They need to understand. There needs to be a lot of listening in that. There isn't a whole heck of a lot of benefit of raging and screaming and name-calling, and that doesn't do a lot, really. I understand that it sort of makes them vent, but people think it's going to make them feel better, but in reality, it makes them feel worse. So there is a time that they need to express how they feel and how scared they are, but they kind of quickly need to move to a safety plan and a way that they can kind of move forward and figure out what went wrong and how they're going to keep themselves safe in the future.
So forgiveness. You know, I know that it's individual and how long it's going to take, but, I mean, are you supposed to forgive first and work out the problems later, or not even talk about the affair at sometimes? Because people, you know, when you're feeling so hurt and something, just anything little can make you mad, you bring that up again as a way to sort of lash out.
Yes.
You know, well, that guilt thing.
Right. One of the things you have to understand, and this is often tough, is in you know, half the cases when an affair has been found out, the person who's been having the affair is not quite sure they want to end it. I mean, we're sort of coming, you and I are coming from a place of, you know, that they've said, oh, I'm so sorry, and I want to make my marriage work. That's not always the case. Sometimes they're torn. Sometimes they're confused. And so if you are the betrayed spouse and you're just raging at them all the time and yelling at them and bringing up the affair all the time, that's it. And then they have this other person who's telling them they're wonderful and they love them, and they, you know, you don't really want to get in a situation where anytime you deal, your spouse deals with you, it's horrible. And anytime they deal with their affair partner, it's wonderful and blissful. I mean, so you have to work on it, and you have to try and have some honest conversations. But you're right. You don't want to do that, you know, screaming and yelling thing. And the other thing, too, about forgiveness is many people, they don't want to offer forgiveness because they feel like that's going to condone the behavior, that if I finally forgive you, then I'm somehow giving you permission for what you did. And then that's not, in fact, the case. So you do need to get to a place where you can understand what happened, understand why it happened, and that's at that point that you're able to start. Oh, and make sure that it's not going to happen again. You can't offer forgiveness if you feel like it's going to happen again. And at that point is when you sort of have, you know, the time to say, I forgive you, and let's move forward.
And because that trust has to be rebuilt, provided, as you say, that the other spouse does want. I mean, you know, we're coming from a place where we assume that they want to be together and stay together. What about getting support for the betrayed spouse? Does that look somehow as a betrayal? Oh, you're going outside and telling your friends about this?
It's rarely a good idea to tell very many people about it because, you know, again, what you're headed for is reconciliation. What one wants is to forgive their spouse and move forward. And unfortunately, when we tell our loved ones and friends anything really about our spouse, they stay mad at them. So, and then we have to not only fix our relationship with our spouse, we have to try and repair the relationship between our friend and our spouse and our mother and our spouse. If there is sort of support, I recommend that both parties go. If they need some kind of support like that both parties go see a therapist or both parties work through it together. Even individual therapy sometimes when one partner has been betrayed can actually statistically lead to more marriages ending than being saved. So,
well, I mean, and that's the case with any relationship thing. You know, if you tell your girlfriend about your boyfriend's something weird,
right,
then that image, as you say, never goes away.
Right. Yeah, if you say he was a jerk last night and he said this, this, and that, and the next day you forgive him and you move forward because you understand, but he doesn't necessarily, or your friend doesn't necessarily move forward, and they, you know, it can cause a rift between the friendship, interestingly enough, and also between that friend and your spouse, and that, you know, that makes it difficult. So, of course, you need some support, but you really don't want to tell a whole heck of a lot of people. Because it can actually interfere with the process.
And as you said, you have to spend some time together without talking about the affair and kind of see if you still have the ability to put it outside of whatever your family life is. In the last minute or so, Dr. Dana, give us your best advice for surviving an affair.
My best advice is, and this is a tough concept, my best advice is for people to remember that an affair can actually make a marriage, and I'm not condoning affairs, but can make a marriage better on the other side. If a couple can get through an affair, they in actuality can end up with a better marriage, a stronger marriage, a more authentic and real marriage than they had before. So I'm in no way saying it's a great idea to have an affair, but I am saying it doesn't necessarily have to be the end of a relationship. And if it's handled correctly, it can actually mean the next 30 or 40 years are going to be even better. And so really try and keep that mindset, and all of your efforts need to be headed toward that goal.
So some people, some couples actually can survive an affair and even come out possibly on the other end with a stronger marriage, not condoning affairs, but
right,
there is light at the end of the tunnel. You're listening.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, and you're listening to Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.